Colossians chapter 2. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Preaching to our hearts this morning. I'm reminded this morning, as Brother Jones so capably preached on the battle the other night, that in the heatest, hottest part of the battle, when everything looked so bad in Europe, they had called for Winston Churchill to come and give a speech and to try to uplift, try to encourage. And they said, history says, that he stepped to the podium that night and looked out over the crowd. They were hanging on his every word in the heat of the battle. And he said, never, 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 ever give up and sit down. Preached this past Sunday, Luke chapter 4. Jesus, the Bible said, he stood up and said, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad the gospel went to those in poverty, spiritually bankrupt. Preach the gospel to the poor, the recovering of sight to the blind. Thank God, I'm glad he's in the business of opening eyes. And then the set at liberty, them that are bruised, them that have suffered a major blow. Sometimes the blow comes from without, sometimes it comes within, but nevertheless, the bruise hurts just as bad. And the Bible said after he had read that one verse, he handed the minister the book and said, hey, I'm glad, thank God, you don't have to talk all day to tell you what God's wanted you to say. And in this time of discouragement, I will be just as brief as I can. Colossians chapter 2, the Bible said, and you being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of the things to come, but the body is of Christ. Father, I thank you for this portion of scripture you've directed our hearts to. Thank you for the service this morning. I pray, God, that you would help us and enable us, God, to be able to preach that you put in our hearts. God, I pray, Lord, that you would search us and forgive us of any unclean thought, any unclean way. Help us, Lord, I pray, God, remove all that from our minds and let us settle our hearts and minds, God, in around the presence of the Lord and what you'd have us to say and do. God, I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to every heart that's in this place. And God, may we leave here strengthened and encouraged, God, in the Lord. Deal with the hearts of sinners, Lord, I pray today. Get glory unto your name and we'll praise you. Now help me to do that, as Brother Wayne has already said, that you birthed me into this world to do. Help us, Lord. Now, God, we cast ourselves at your feet, asking, Lord, to be used of thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. I'm going to preach for just a few minutes this morning on how the Lord has helped me. On how the Lord has helped me. I read here in this text, and by way of introduction, I want to back up and just get a thought or two at the start of the chapter. And in chapter 2, verse number 1, Paul says, he said, for I would that you would know the great conflict I have for you and them of Laodicea. It appears that as Paul was being inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to pin this down, that he had Colossus and Laodicea on his mind, that last day church, that representation on his mind. And he said, there's a conflict in my heart. And thank God. And you and I could look at at this last day and get a lot of confliction in our heart. But notice verse 2. He said that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together. I appreciate the fact that God's in the business of pulling together the loose ends. He's in the business of pulling marriages together and homes together and churches together and people together. I thank God. I'm glad that as we knit our hearts together around the Word of God this week and try to scrooge up a little closer, I'm reminded what the preacher said back to this. He said, revival, we're sitting around waiting on revival. He said, revival will come when we do what God told us to do. Draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to us. Ain't that right? It's just that simple. So we see that there's a conflict. But Paul said, I'm comforted when I see that God's pulling things together. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he gets to talking about those that would try to beguile and bewitch them. And then we come to our text. I'm just hurrying through trying to give you what the Lord has put in my heart. And we come to verse number 13. And as we come to verse number 13, I thank God we're forced to realize and forced to confront what the Lord has done for us. And thank God this is a common salvation, by the way. And He done the same thing for me that He done for you. If you're saved, ain't that right? And can I say, first of all, the first thing the Lord did was get me out of the morgue. I don't know about you, but that excites my heart, Brother Larry, when I think about where I was. Now, a morgue is where you take dead folk. Ain't that right? And Ephesians says, you had He quickened who were dead. I thank God. Now, a morgue is where you take somebody when you can't do nothing else with them. Ain't that right? A matter of fact, when you're done with them, you carry them down to the morgue. Are you starting to get in the picture? And Asa, I thank God I was dead in trespasses and in sin. I thank God the world said, we're done with him. The society said, we're done with him. A lot of my friends and family said, we're done with him. Come to think of it, while I'm on that right there, a whole lot of the brethren have said, we're done with him. Anyway, but thank God when it looks like everything is done. And there's no hope. And all hope's gone. The Lord specializes in getting folks up out of the morgue. The morgue is a cold place. A morgue is a sad place. Huh? It's sad. You don't see much rejoicing around a morgue. But if you ever get the Lord in the morgue, I read over there in the scripture where I met a lady coming through the gate one day. And that boy was dead. She was a widow, the Bible said. And the Bible said that he laid his hand on the bar. And that young man sat up. I read in another place where Jairus' little daughter died. And he went and said, Talitha Kuma, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And she stood up. I read over yonder where he went down yonder to visit Martha and Mary. Now, it's not too hard, I don't guess that society and science would say, to get somebody up when they just died. So the Lord said, I want to go a little above and beyond in Lazarus' case. I don't want any way for somebody to say they might have still been a breath on the mirror. So he waited one day, and he waited 2 days, and he ended up down yonder. They thought he was late, didn't they? But he was right on time. Hallelujah. Where'd he show up? He went down to the cemetery. Where have you laid him? And he said, they carried him down to the cemetery. And he said, Lazarus, come forth to let everybody know that he's got power in the morgue. Some of you ain't getting this. I thank God. You don't realize how bad you were. You don't realize how ungodly you were. You were rotten and stinking and putrid. But God spoke into your heart one day and got you up. Hallelujah. He specializes in the Lord. He's helped me, Brother Billy, when he got me out of the morgue. Then secondly, look real quickly. Verse number 14. He said, in blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us, not only did I need help out of the morgue, I needed help in the courthouse. I needed help in the courthouse. All those ordinances, all those laws that I'd broke. I was a criminal, Brother Chris. Ain't that right? I thank God I was wicked as hell. And the charges were being levied against me. The sentence of death was hanging over me again. Hallelujah. Come up here a minute. Come here, you buddy. Come up here a minute, Brother Tom. And the Bible said there was a handwriting of ordinances. The law, Hodephus, was between me and God. I was in bad shape. It looked like when court came in session, there'd be no hope for me, Brother Jones. That sentence was impending. I couldn't do nothing but plead guilty as charged. But notice what happened. Verse 14. He come and got the charges. Some of you missed that. There's charges between me and God. And the Lord came and got the charges. Is anybody still listening to me? He didn't just get the ordinance. I had Brother Wayne help me with it this morning. And that word ordinances means the rules that have been set forth. The laws that were set forth. Those laws were against me, Brother Mills. But Christ Jesus come. And wretched God. He turned to my page. And he blotted it out. I started to bring an ink pen with me this morning and write sin on a piece of paper and blot it out in front of you. But he didn't blot it out with ink. I said he didn't, Brother Junior, blot it out with ink. But he blotted it out with blood. I thank God if you could find the charges, if there was some way you could find those charges, you'd have to learn to read through blood. Hallelujah. Because they're blotted out. Not only are they blotted out, but he took them. They ain't laying in trash can for the bailiff to find. Brother Benson, they're not thrown around in a file cabinet somewhere where somebody can dig them out 50 years from now. But he took them over yonder and nailed them to the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, man. Amen. Ain't you glad, thank God, that, ain't you glad that there's help for you if you're in the morgue? Ain't you glad there's help for you if you're in front of the magistrate? Hallelujah. But Brother Henderson, I've got another problem. I got all those satanic ministers floating about me. Walking about. Notice what he says about them here in verse number 15. He said, having spoiled principalities and powers. The word spoiled, I looked it up, it means to tear down or to bring down, to render useless or powerless. Don't miss this right here. He's brought the powers of principalities. The word prince is used for a future king. Ain't that right? So in that word principality, there's a future king that's being brought up. That word palaces means one set forth with authority. So there's somebody coming in the future that's got power and authority, Brother Chris. And I don't know about you, but I was no match for him and his Christ. But thank God the Lord said, while I'm taking care of you in the morning, and while I'm taking care of you, thank God down at the magistrate's office, I'm going to take care of you when it comes to these ministering spirits of hell too. Notice what he said, and I'm done. Look what he says. Hallelujah. He said, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. He embarrassed them. When I was a little boy, I had two big brothers. And the next door neighbor, his name was Lawson. He's a bully. And I was in about the third grade. And I was smaller than this boy here. And Lawson's all the time picking on me. And I couldn't handle him. He's bigger than me. And one morning, I said something probably I shouldn't have said to him. And he grabbed me and threw me down the embankment. End over end, I went. My school clothes. And while the bus was pulling up and stopping, Brother Ted, I was gathering together papers and books and homework that were scattered down the bank. But what I didn't know is my big brother was standing in the window and he saw everything that had happened. And when I got off the bus that evening, I don't know how he always got home after I did, but he was home early that day. And I remember stepping off that school bus and I thought, if he whooped me that way this morning and beat me up this morning, no telling what he's fixing to do with me this evening. And the bus stopped him this morning. And that fear and that dread was in me, Brother Larry, as a kid. And as I stepped off that bus, old Lawson was about 3 or 4 steps in front of me. I seen my brother step around the corner of my mom and daddy's house. And I thought, what in the world is he doing here? But at the same time, something inside started jumping up and down. Because somebody that's bigger than me, Brother John, is here to handle the problem now. Hallelujah. And I watched my brother deal in a non-Christian way with Lawson. He whooped him in the driveway. He whooped him in the yard. And when he got done with him, just like he had done me, he got him by the nape of the neck and the seat of the pants and pitched him off of that bank. And he said, the next time you pick on my little brother, it's going to be a whole lot worse than this. And I couldn't help but think, as I was reading that in the motel this morning, about my big brother. My heavenly brother. Thank God. And I can't handle what's coming down the road. I can't deal with what's coming down the road. But surely if he's big enough to get me out of the morgue and to get me off out of the magistrate's office, surely he's big enough to deal with these ministers of Satan. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but it excites my heart this morning to realize what he's done for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He got me out of the morgue. He got me out of the magistrate's office. And he's taking care. He's not going to. He already has. Past tense. He's already defeated the enemy. The next morning, don't miss this. Don't miss this. You forget everything I said. Get this. The next morning, Brother Chris, I got my school books. And I started down the driveway to that bus stop. And in my mind, I was thinking, Big Brother ain't here today. His words were still ringing. His actions were still fresh. But he wasn't standing at the bus stop with me, Brother Larry. But he might as well been. Because when I stepped across that line at that bus stop, them neighbor boys stepped up like two big steps. And I said, what's the matter with y'all? I know I ought not done it, but I was cocky. I said, what's the matter with you, big boy? He's kind of hung his head. You know why? He had already been defeated. Can I say thank God that the hounds of hell may pursue after me and you and bark on our trail, but they've already been defeated. Lift up your head, child of God. Pay no attention to the nonsense that's going on now. He'll get you out of the morgue. He'll get you, thank God, out of the magistrate's office, and he'll take care of those ministries. I'm done. Hallelujah. Bless his name. Hallelujah. I said he'll get you out of the morgue. Do you remember when he got you out of the morgue? Do you remember when he went to court for you? Oh, happy day. Happy day. When Jesus washed my sins away. Hallelujah. I'm glad I've got a big old God. He's even able to handle Hillary and Donald. Ain't that right? Hallelujah. Have you got somebody in your corner? It's been a time or two, Brother Larry, I've looked into the corner, spiritually speaking now. And I've wondered, Lord, any time now you can throw in the towel. I just about took all I can take. But I find the bell ring, and I'll catch just a minute or two of breath. And he'll pour in some good word of God. He's the best cut man you've ever seen. Hallelujah. He'll fix up your cuts. And thank God, sit and give you some whisper instruction in your ear. And send you out and say, fight another round. I don't know about you, but I can't find a quitting place on somebody that never quit on me. Thank you, preacher.